We were discussing clay si'uda, things that are used for touching food to prepare it, make it more edible, and used basically after you pass the threshold of edible, that those things are basically called clay si'uda, required tevilah with a beracha. Anything that's used before and not crossing the threshold of edibility is not going to require tevilah midina, but there's lots of room depending on what the item is to be machmir. That was what we discussed. Now, it's important to realize we have lots of electrical appliances in our homes that you can't just chuck into the mikveh. If you throw it into the mikveh, it'll short circuit. We discussed last time, I'll just do a quick chazara, of the little electricity that I know, that basically you have a circuit board, and you plug it in, close the circuit to the electricity, you plug it in, this electricity flows. The electricity that's coming out of your outlet is not necessarily the right voltage for your keli, and therefore there are resistors on the circuit board that reduce and play with the amount of electricity that's coming through.
Amperage.
Great. Thank you. Good. I took physics when I was in 12th grade, and I haven't done enough chazara, unfortunately. I need to do a lot more chazara. All my sciences. Take advantage, make the most of it, and if your teacher is... I had a teacher in Hank who... got a story for another time. I left class at one point. And I quit. And I decided to study on my own.
It happened to me too.
Okay, good. Mrs. Palea was like trying to be a tzadeket with everything, but like I explained to her what was going on, the whole thing. Anyway, fine. Baruch Hashem. So anyway, so... I don't think it's secret. I think he left. He left already.
Mine was fine.
Okay, fine. Anyway... Probably would require it to be at that point, yeah.
It's edible, but nobody would eat it.
Oh, you can eat cream. You can pour it into something else.
Ice cream,
you wouldn't like
ice cream is also like, it has like vanilla in it and like sugar, so it's like, not something people eat. It's still edible.
He's saying before I start the churning process, it touches the cream.
It's
edible. You're saying once the cream churning process starts, it loses its edibility for some time until I make the ice cream and I freeze it and everything's all processed.
The cream you pour in,
that's not edible at the time?
It means edible, but it's not something people would eat.
That's the question. When it comes to, let's say, hot water.
If you leave ice cream milk, it goes back to its original state. It's not like you changed it with the blade, so I'm asking if, that is something that you use to prepare for eating, but it doesn't make it edible. That's my question.
I would assume until it reaches like its final product, if you're using it along the lines of edible, it's chayav, it's milah. But what you're raising is an important point of what if the food is inherently edible, but I'm not using it at this time. I'm heating up water to cook with. And I only use this industrial kettle, which is like a massive thing. It's not like a little samovar. It's a massive thing, an industrial kettle that boils water for cooking purposes. So I'm not going to... No one's eating out of that thing. No one's bringing that hot water to the table. It's all going to be used for cooking. So this is a discussion. Are you using it for your furnace? Heating hot water for some heat? Does that require tevila? The water is edible, but it's not for food purposes. So it's a big debate in Achronim of what to do. So some say tevila without a beracha, some say tevila with a beracha. It's a big debate. So I imagine that would parallel what you're talking about with an ice cream maker. The water is edible, the cream is edible, but no one's eating it at this stage because it's going to be turned into something else. It's a very important question. Probably along the same line. But I didn't look into ice cream makers. But now we'll have to Google around, see what all the different kashrut organizations say and try to weigh what they say with the poskim we've mentioned and see what the halacha would be for us. Very important question. But ice cream maker is another great example of a kli. But the ice cream maker, I think you can take out the receptacle and put the blade out. You can take the receptacle out and put it in the mikveh. What if you can't? What if you have a toaster oven? Well, a toaster oven, you can take the tray out, right? What if you have a George Foreman grill? You can't take that out. So the different cases, you have to figure out what to do when you, and maybe you have to put the whole thing in at the same time also. It's a different question. We're going to ignore that question for now because it requires more knowledge of Hilchot Tevilah, which I don't have. So we're going to leave that question on the side. We're going to assume if you can take apart the receptacle and put it in, fine. Otherwise, you have to put the whole thing in.
Rabbi, let's say, I'm so sorry to ask you again, but let's say, do the rabbis of the Acharonim ever talk about, like, the affordability of the component that you're dipping? Let's say something is very cheap, and who cares if it breaks?
Oh.
So you should dip it, but let's say something is expensive, and you're like, I want to dip my Nespresso machine. You know?
Right,
like,
right.
You know, like a George Formigal's $20. Or,
right,
I don't know,
right.
Discuss,
it's
like,
part of the question of the value is part of the question, but more than that, who told you it's mutar to use this kli if you can't take it to the mikveh? So it'll break, so don't use it. Live life without it. Our ancestors in Iran lived without it. It is okay, right? You don't need it. So that's one argument to discuss, but we'll see how. No, because you can't do tevilah, some say it's mutar entirely. But let's take a step from the beginning. You don't want a short circuit. It means you have these resistors on your circuit board and you plug it in. But let's say you take a wire and you pass it over the resistor and you touch both ends. You create a bridge. And then the electricity will flow without the resistor and basically blow your circuit. That's what the resistor was there for. But if you circumvent this, then you have a problem. The same thing happens when you get it wet. Pure water, distilled water, does not conduct electricity. But tap water with all the minerals and other stuff inside of it and all the garbage inside of it, if you live in New York City, does conduct electricity. So if you get your kli wet and it gets onto the circuit board and you plug it in right away, you will blow the circuit. So many say, okay, so take it, put it next to the radiator for a few days to a week or 2 weeks, leave it in the sun, depending on the time of year, and it'll dry out and it'll be okay. The question is, are you chayav to do that? You chayav to risk, because it doesn't always work. Maybe primitive electronics it works, but if you have like an LCD screen behind the plastic, behind the plastic cover, and the water gets in there, it's not coming out. It's not evaporating ever either. Or sometimes if the water gets to the wrong place, it can cause corrosion and your kli can eventually break. The thing can get disconnected, it can have an open circuit, it won't work anymore. Different things can go wrong. So this leads to a great discussion of what's the halakha with respect to electric appliances. Do they require tevilat kelim or not? So now the first big name on the scene of electricity was the Chelkat Yaakov. The Chelkas Yankis. Not kidding. The Chelkas Yaakov. He wasn't a chassid. He was a normal Litvish guy. But he lived after World War II, understanding, because like learning for 2 hours is great, but it gets a lot of energy. You have to stand. Okay, so the Chelkat Yaakov was a rabbi in Europe after World War II, after the Holocaust. He lived in Switzerland, and he wrote a sefer called Chelkat Yaakov, and he had connections with lots of people. His michutan, meaning his child married the child of the Minchat Yitzchak, Rabbi Dayan Yitzchak Weiss, who was also a major posik of the last half a century, the Minchat Yitzchak. Between the two of them, whatever one says, the other one disagrees. It's great. The Chelkat Yaakov has mechudash ideas, and the Minchat Yitzchak became very Haredi. He was the Ra'avad, the Avetin of the Eda Haredis, and he shoots down the mechudash ideas of his mechutan, of his child's father-in-law. So the Chelkat Yaakov says like this: you have an immersion heating coil, a heating element that plugs into the wall, and you put the coil in water for it to boil. Like you spoke about the sous vide. I didn't look into it yet, but same idea. So, for now. I forgot to look into it, I apologize. So, okay, fine. Great, so we'll remind each other. You take this coil and you put it in the hot water, in the cold water, and it boils the water. Does that require tevilah or not? So the Chelkat Yaakov discusses what could be the possible heterim for this kli to not require tevilah, because if you take the whole thing, Rabbi, that's how the shiur has been. Defarmai. Okay. Okay, it might be true, but it's not for right now. Now, anyway, the Chelkat Yaakov discusses a number of different issues that you could use potentially to be mako. So, where is it? So anyway, he says, I had a list of them actually.
Who's this child's father?
his child's father-in-law is the Minchat Yitzchak. Yeah. Chalkas Yaakov thinks that you could be Mekel. So I lost the list of his ideas, but one of the things that he says, where is it? Oh, what? That stinks. Okay, fine. One of the things that maybe it's like, it's not Mitaken so much. Maybe you could sell it to a goy, give it to a goy. We're going to find that, let's say it's Erev Shabbat, or it's Shabbat, and a person doesn't have a mikveh, and he has a brand new kli he needs to use. Shulchan Aruch recommends, give it to your non-Jewish neighbor, and borrow it back indefinitely in order to use it. Ashkenazim don't like that heter so much. Sorry, I think Jew. We'll discuss it at length, Ezrat Hashem, how that heter works, in terms of the kinyanin you do with the goy in order to give it to him and whatever. What happens if you have 1,500 utensils in your catering company, can't pick them all up in a basket and give it to a goy. So kinyan hagba'ah doesn't work. You have to do other kinyan. We'll talk about that. There's Zayashem.
Documentation like a receipt wouldn't be sufficient?
Who says that shitar works for a goy? Min HaTorah. This is a mitzvah in HaTorah. You need to make sure that kinyan works in HaTorah. So we'll discuss if shitar works in HaTorah for metaltalin, not for karka. It's chosh and mishpat. There's Zayashem. I'm super excited for the chosh and mishpat part. It's going to be a couple of weeks from now, and I'm so not ready, but I'm super excited and super scared at the same time.
This
is going to be Choshen Mishpat.
No, but like you're going to go through Choshen Mishpat also?
No, but just the kinyanim that are required for this. Avadia's grandson, we'll talk about, has a great sefer, Mishpat HaKinyan, Hilchot Kinyanim. Talks about this, how to do kinyanim. Not now. So anyway, the Chalukat Yaakov weighs all the different options, and he says none of them really work. We need to find a better heter for the immersion coil. Otherwise, we're stuck. Because we can't sell it to a goy, we're Ashkenazim, we don't like that heter so much. What should we do? So he says, we know in some ways the halachot of tevilat kelim that you purchase from a goy are patterned after tevilat kelim for tumah and taura. And just like we said by refrigerators, refrigerators are made to be stationary. Therefore, they are not mikabel tuman. Therefore, even if you wanted to give me metal, glass, refrigerator, storage, whatever, it doesn't matter. Stationary, attached to the ground, not moving, parts are from tevilat kelim because it's not mikabel tuman. Same thing here. He says, because something that's actually attached to the ground cannot be mikabel tuman. And therefore, the only way to use this kli, this immersion coil, is by plugging it into the wall. That's the only way it is a kli. Because when it's not plugged into the wall, it doesn't do anything. You can go to your toaster and touch the heating element when it's off. Nothing happens. Put your bread inside of it. It's not going to toast. When you plug it in, you turn it on, it works. Right? So he says it's not a kli unless it's plugged in.
That's a good one.
And therefore, patur. This was huge chidush. Huge earth-shattering chidush. Everybody jumped and said, no way. No way. No way. But the Chalkat Yaakov has qualified it. A couple of teshuvot later, he says, let's say I have an urn. The urn, even when it's not plugged in, can hold water. That's a Beit Kibul. It's a kli, even when it's not plugged in. Therefore, an urn does require tevilah, he says. It's a long teshuvah. I did not have the time to read the whole thing. I'm somech on the 60 other people I saw who quote him. Just to tell you, full disclosure, I did not eat the entire Chalkat Yaakov. But, also it's Tuma and Taura, I'm learning Doradei, I'm learning Ibn HaEzer, I don't know these things well enough. So I'm still making other people for this. Fine. Otherwise, everything I tell you, I basically read inside. Just full disclosure. Good. Okay. So the first Teshuvah with the immersion coil I also read inside. This is one I did not. So many disagree with the Chalkat Yaakov, but there are some poskim who are willing to lean on the Chalkat Yaakov's leniencies in certain situations. Some actually hold that way entirely. Some do accept the Chalkat Yaakov even by the urn, even by the George Foreman. Some hold that we totally accept the Chalkat Yaakov entirely. We'll get to Mezrat Hashem. But just to note, when you have an immersion coil, who said it's a kli? A kli? Does it hold anything? Do anything touching the food? Who says it's really a kli? How is it any different from a burning hot coal that I chuck into a cup of water? Same thing. The gachelet. It's just It's just gonna, it's not even a kli. It's like throwing embers into something and heating it up. Oh, so maybe you're arguing. Maybe it is a kli because it's reusable. Okay, good. Ravelsky didn't think that way. The Chalka Yaakov did. So we're good. Yeah. Rabbi Kashizadeh is on the machlokes. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Now, we said Rav Moshe Feinstein. We've had a tremendous chidush of Rav Moshe Feinstein, by the way. He clearly does not accept this Chalka Yaakov. Rav Moshe, he thinks that you do need tevila for electric appliances. But he has this unbelievable chidush that you can split a kli. Let's say my water bottle is the urn and this is the heating element right here. Right? And let's say there is a two parts, this top and this part, top and bottom, and they're connected right here. Rav Moshe says, this is a Beit Kibul and this is an electric kli. What you do what Moshe said, is take the kli, put it in the mikveh like this, up until here. And then, Rav Moshe says, don't let the heating element get wet. Put it up until here. And that's your tevilah. But wait a minute. We said it many times. You have to do tevilah on the entire kli. It's all or nothing. How can you get away with leaving this out? Rav Moshe says, because it's two different functions, it's two different kelim. This is one kli, and this is another kli. Yeah. Chatzitza, right? Oh. Chatzitza, you're asking exactly the point. Isn't it a chatzitza? Rav Moshe says chidush number two. It's not a chatzitza. Why not? When a woman goes to the mikveh, when a man goes to the mikveh, does he have to open his mouth to let the water in? No. It's called beit hastarim. It's called things, places that are usually covered, usually closed. You don't have to open your mouth for the water to go through your esophagus and your lungs.
Same thing with
exactly.
Like a woman, maybe she's yeah. like heavier. And
yeah.
She doesn't have to lift up her
right.
flesh to
correct.
Same reason.
100%. So Rav Moshe says, Beit HaStarim is not Chutzitz. Some, I'm not telling you we hold this way, some hold that even the bottom of your foot is a Beit HaStarim. So if for whatever reason your bottom of your foot did not get wet, it's not Chutzitz in the Tevilah. I'm not holding in Hilchot Tevilah right now, Chatzitzot. I'm telling you there's a Shita out there. There's some who hold that even dreadlocks are not a chatzitza problem because the whole hair thing is not. It's a whole sugya, not for now. But the concept is there. Beit HaStarim. Rav Moshe says this line where the two parts join is also a Beit HaStarim. And it's always closed, and therefore it's not chotzeitz. Two wild chumrot, two chidushim, which are very mechudash. They're very novel. Rav Shechter says we don't accept those things. But Rav Moshe did. And what's the underlying premise? He did not accept the Chelkat Yaakov. The Minchat Yitzchak did not accept the Chelkat Yaakov. The Beit Avi, Rabbi, I forgot his name, from Brooklyn, big postik from a while ago, does not accept the Chelkat Yaakov. The Shevet Halevi, Rav Vazner Zatzal, does not accept the Chelkat Yaakov. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, it depends. If we can use the Chelkat Yaakov as a Snif Lahakel, as a Tziru, then we will. So, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that in certain situations you can be mekel once you have one reason to be mekel plus the Chelkat Yaakov, it's okay. And he says, therefore, we have a Chochmat Adam. Chochmat Adam says, you have this kli that you bought from the Goy, the George Foreman, right? Once you are mevatel it from Torah's kli, let's say you take it apart, you break it, it's no longer a kli, and then you put it back together, you don't need tefillah. It's a question of how much you have to take it apart, break it up, whatever. But if you do that, then you would not, to the point that you need an uman to put it back together, an artisan, an expert, a craftsman to put it back together, then you would be okay.
Yeah. Cool, got another question.
Yeah.
It's a little off topic, but just moved my mind.
Yeah.
Let's say a person has a hot plate on Shabbat.
Yeah.
On Shabbat hot plate.
Yeah.
And he uses it to toast his pot lechem.
Because it's directly on.
Yeah, only for toasting the bread directly touches it. Nothing else touches it except for that.
So Rav Tash
Moshe? But it's not like the bread was edible before that.
So we had Rav Moshe Feinstein who said, if it was bread, toasters don't need tevila, right?
No, but the grate does.
But the grate, but even though the toaster touches the food, it doesn't need tevila.
It's
We hold not like Rav Moshe. So, okay. So, toasting does need to be like, right? But you go by Rav Tashmisho. Is Rav Tashmisho for things that are in a kli, in a pan, or whatever? And alright, sometimes you put some bread on it. You always put it directly on? You have tinfoil?
No, always directly.
Always directly on? You're going to have chametz problems now.
You have
a separate one for Pesach. Yeah. Uh-huh. This is a discussion, yeah. Some say that you might need to feel on your hot plate, but it's a discussion. I think for us, you would say Rav Tashmisho. But we can discuss it further, Be'ezat Hashem. But hot plate also might not need it all. It's electric.
Well, I know it doesn't need it, because it's not, you don't use it for cooking food. I'm asking in a scenario where I...
Ayin Yachinami. Whatever you do it for. It's whatever you do it for. You don't care about what other people do. So if you're telling me you're doing it, I'm telling you it's electric. So don't worry about it. We'll get to halakha by electric.
What if the heating element is attached to the element that does heat?
Meaning what? Meaning...
If you were to dip...
Not like Rav Moshe's case. A case where it's inseparable.
Yeah, it's inseparable.
So then that's the problem, yeah. Rav Moshe gave me a kula for a different scenario. But that doesn't cover every case. There's so many cases. The George Foreman grill, that is the heating element. It's right there. It's underneath the plate. It's underneath the grill. So the grill needs tefila, and then you can't separate them. It's mamash part of it. So you can have to chuck it on the mikveh and wait 2 weeks. Am I chayav to do that? I thought I'd break something. So, and even if you wait 2 weeks, if you ever turned it on before you took it to the mikveh, we said also, Rav David Cohen told us about capacitors. Capacitors are like batteries inside of the kli, and once you plug it in, it gets charged. So, it could be that even if it's not plugged in, there's still a charge there, and you'll short it with just having water touch the circuit board right away when you put in the mikveh. So there's
capacitor?
A capacitor, yeah.
Capacitor is a device that regulates the flow of electricity so it doesn't overflow.
That's the resistor. The resistor.
That's what a capacitor is.
It's also a resistor. I'm not holding.
Like a battery kind of thing.
It's a battery, though.
Like
no, it holds a charge, capacitor.
It holds a charge so it doesn't overflow.
Reading it?
No.
We'll leave it for now. This is one of the things he says is also a problem. That's why he says that oftentimes it says on the box, don't get this thing wet. Because they're assuming you're going to plug it in first, and then you're going to get it wet. Whereas if you're going to go straight from the store to the mikveh, you're not plugging it in. And therefore, you won't have the problem with the capacitors. But if you do, go home, plug it in once, or you bought it from someone else, a goy who used it before, whatever, and you'll have a problem. Fine. All these things are reasons to be machmir. That we said, we don't accept the Chelkat Yaakov, Rav Moshe, Rav Shlomo Zalman maybe a little bit, Rav Vazner, others don't accept it. But then there are many modern-day posikim, modern-day meaning a few decades after the ones we mentioned already, who are make a legamri. Rav Heinemann from the Star case says, you're an anus. What can you do? It's going to break. You have to do this whole craziness. Don't even bother. Electronics are patur from Tevilat Kelim. Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz from the CRC, also a big posik in America, also says, patur. Don't figure out all these things. They're all complicated. You're patur legamri. And how do you know? Because the halacha is by a shutafut, a partnership with the goy. Be'ezat Hashem, next time we're going to discuss not kinyanim, but ownership of buying, borrowing, renting, stealing, collateral, and all those situations of dealing with a goy in which ownership changes. When do you have to do tefillah, when do you not? If you have a partnership with a goy, you do not have to do tefillah on the kli. Certainly if he owns it still, you don't have to do tefillah. But even if it's only a partnership, you still don't have to do tevilah with the kli. So based on that halacha of ownership, that you don't have to, there's a big discussion in the Acharonim, which at the bottom line says, whenever it's impossible to do tevilah, because in the partnership, you have part of it and he has part of it. You want to use it. What are you going to do? Take it to the mikveh? How does it help you? It's tovel v'sheretz v'yado. You're trying to go to the mikveh, you're holding the thing that's tamei. It still has the non-Jewish ownership to it. You can't take this thing to the mikveh, the partnership kli. So don't even try. Since we say there, it's impossible to do tevilah when you have a partnership, you're still allowed to use the kli though. Therefore we say that's patur. And we extrapolate. Whenever it's impossible to do tevilah, you're allowed to use the kli, even though you own it, just like in the partnership. You own it also. But since it's impossible, you're allowed to do... You're allowed to use the kli for seuda, even though it should be chayav, because it's impossible to do tevilah on this thing. Clear? Whenever it's impossible, we don't say don't use it, we say patur. You may use it without tevila. That is the argument. Whenever it's impossible to do tevila. Yeah, whenever it's impossible to do tevila, such as if you have a partnership with a goy, or it's electronic, and it might break. So then you don't have to do tevila, you can use it
again. Like a toaster?
Same thing? Same thing. Anything electronic that you risk breaking it.
You would take out the grate.
Oh, so if you can take out the grate, so great, do that, put it in the mikveh and come back. But if you can, it's inseparable and whatever, fine.
Is that one for Seudah, or is that for all electronically?
Any electronically that would be chayav. So Klei Seudah is the thesis statement of things that require tevila. It's the definition of any Klei that requires tevila. It has to be Klei Seudah. A Klei that's used, the vessel used for Seudah. Once you have those things that are electronic, that are Klei Seudah, don't worry about it. All these poskim say, Rav Heinemann, Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz, and Rav Chaim David Halevi Zatzal, who was the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv many years ago, all say, don't worry about it. There's a machloket here. Anyway, it might be the Rabbanan anyway. It might be mutar to use even if it's Deoraita anyway. And plus, it'll break, so let go. Don't worry about it. Plus the Chalkat Yaakov. Plus the Chalkat Yaakov. Everyone chucks in. Once we're being makel, yeah, the Chalkat Yaakov also. It's okay. You have so much to be makel for. Rav Asher Weiss also holds that if it's impossible to do to the tevila, you are patur. And he has a long teshuvah about this. It's great. And now comes Chacham Avadia. Chacham Avadia says, well, what was the very first line in the Chelkat Yaakov? The Chelkat Yaakov said, what should we do? Well, we could give it to a goy and borrow it back, but we're Ashkenazi and we can't do that. So Chacham Avadia says, okay, stop right there. Forget everything else he said. We're Sfaradi. We follow Shulchan Aruch. Give it to a goy and borrow it back. And that's the answer to all these problems.
So he says,
give it to a goy. When I got married, I went to a security guard in YU. I handed him $20. I said, this is for you. And I said, now listen, I have a bunch of kalim in my apartment that I can't use. They're electronic. Do you mind buying them off of me for $20? And he said, sure. And he gave me the $20. He wasn't so there. So maybe it was a shote. Kenyan shote is not going to work. Okay. But plus, who says ma'ot works for the goy? We have to talk about that. Bezan Hashem. Who says my kinyan was a good kinyan? Who says? We'll have to discuss. Ma'ot konot might only be by Jews. Ma'ot means money. Konot means acquire. Maybe you have to do a shtar. Maybe you have to do meshicha, meaning he has to take it from you. Maybe you have to do hagva'ah. We have to discuss. Maybe you have to do chatzir, put it in his house. Maybe he has to rent your house from you. We'll have to discuss all these kinyanin. It's a great springboard to run through Samchosh and Mishpat with you guys. Because I'm so excited for this. It's going to be great. Who says my freshly married, not knowing any halacha, my cheshbon was correct? But let's say it was. You make a shutfut with a goy. Give him a $20 say to buy everything from you, or to buy part of everything from you. Mutar, Chacham Avadia says. Just give it to him as a present. And that would work. This is very important, except in major factories where you have $50,000 pieces of equipment, you can't necessarily do that. Because if you actually give it to him, you run the risk of him taking it. So you have to find other kulot. Chacham Avadia says to give it and borrow back, but you know, maybe you can make him a shutaf. Buy a dollar share, Rebelsky says. Have him give you a dollar. He can't run away with it, but he has a share. And that might be okay also. Chacham Ben Chaim, we heard in the shiur we had Baruch Hashem on the phone, and also he says all the time, believes in the Chelkat Yaakov, the Gamre, Rabotai, and lo tzarich la'achmir v'zeh, mutarim lachem, Chelkat Yaakov, anything electric, plugged into the wall, doesn't matter what it is, Rav Ben Chaim says, mutar, you don't need to do tevila. And Rav Yehuda Bracha, is a Rav who lives in Har Nof, Talmud of Yeshivat Kolal Yechavedat, Talmud of Avadia, he has a shoot called Birkat Yehuda. Bracha writes, he's a Rav Hashem, he writes a lot of teshuvot, he's a great posek. What's his name, Yahubi, who lives like around the corner. Amit Yahubi's husband is actually very close to him, your neighbor, very close to him. Yeah. And he gave me this a couple volumes of Birkat Yehuda. I can also get them online for free on Hebrew books, but when you have it on your shelf, it's a lot easier to just open it up and flip. So I found that he has a teshuvah where he says, that really Chacham Avadia and Chacham Enzion, really Meikar Hadin, also believe in the Chelkat Yaakov. That really, once it's electric, it's all fine. But what's the big deal? Get your neighbor, hand it to him, and get it back. What's so hard? Maybe in Harnof it's hard. How many goyim are in Harnof? But Baruch Hashem, in Esla County, you don't have these problems. In Manhattan, you don't have these problems. And why you security guards, Baruch Hashem, are readily available to help us with all of our problems. So you could be Mekel. And plus, even if there are those who disagree, so Sfeik Sfeika, Safek, this is a mitzvah min HaTorah midRabbanan. Safek, even if it's derayta derabanan, maybe the eating is derabanan, eating is derabanan. Safek, the Chelka Yaakov is right, Safek he's not. And Safek, you can give it, you can, it is, these things are chayav as klei suda or not. All these different sfeikot, mutar, he says. And therefore, don't worry about it, it's all good.
What if the goy is bala matazara? Is it still permissible to do the pinyan of him?
You're saying what? It's lo techanem? It's for our benefit, it's okay. For our benefit, it's okay. The same problem with Shemitah. You can't give a goy a present. But if you have an ulterior motive, it's fine. You can't give your workers a bonus. But if you want them to love the Jews, so fine. Give him a bonus. If someone gives me non-kosher chocolate, non-kosher candy, I can leave it on the side of the street, I can throw it in the garbage, or I can go to the security guard and say, listen, someone gave this to me, I can't eat it. Do you want it?
Yeah.
He'll, and you know what the best thing is? Instead of him looking at his phone and playing games as people are walking through the streets and maybe getting mugged, he'll be looking now because I woke him up and I gave him a piece of candy. Why not? I gave him a present, lo techanem, that's what I have. I have an ulterior motive. It's okay. Here, saving me from Yisurim is a good idea.
Is that with everything, by the way? Because I've heard something about wine you can't do that with.
Wine is a different story. Wine is, even giving him a present of wine, you might be concerned that he does Avodah Zarah with it. But if it's non-kosher wine, you're saying?
Yeah,
it's Asur Bahana'ah. Throw it away.
Throw it away?
Throw it away. If it's 100%, throw it in the garbage. If it's worth 50 grand, call me, we'll talk. But it happens sometimes that wine is worth 50 grand, but... pour it down the toilet. Pour it down the toilet. There's no heter in the world for Sfaradim. There is, but don't get involved. Just throw it away. Asur
v'hana.
There is. Hefsed mirubeh. 100 bucks. You live in Nassau County. It's not hefsed mirubeh. It's mutar.
Hefsed mirubeh.
It's a major loss. Major loss. If you're a partner in Meridian Capital and you have a non-Jewish guy that you want to, a non-Jewish lender that you want to appreciate his work with, and you want to buy him a $100,000 bottle of wine. My father told me they did one year. We can talk about it. That's business.
You bought him with $100,000.
I think that my father said they did something like that.
So he wasn't
kosher. No, he's non-Jewish. Okay, doesn't care. If such a thing happens, we can talk about it. For some people, hefsed mirubeh depends on the person, but I can tell you. Most people, $100 bottle of wine, not the biggest I've said. Hashem will reward you, throw it down the drain, get another one. When it comes to all of Hilchot Avodah Zarah, whenever there's a question, we say, Harchek min ha-ki'ur min ha-domelo. Stay away from these shadows. This dirty, disgusting question. Avodah Zarah, stay away. It's not worth it. Get away. Back to our topic. Tevilat Kelim, we're trying to convert from the Avodah Zarah, the Tumah of the Goyim, to Kedushat Yisrael. What happens if you have an office and you have a Keurig machine? Rav David Cohen probably spent the most time on this than anybody else in the world.
It's not yours.
Let's say you bought it. It's your office. And you're not leasing it. If you lease it, mutar. But let's say you bought it. So he says most of it is made of rubber or plastic. But there's a heating canister that's made of metal. There's a pump that gets the water into the heating canister. And a pump that gets it into the K-cup through a metal needle. So the metal needle should need tevila, and it's also an ikar. Remember we said, tafel v'ikar, even if the whole machine is made of plastic, if there's one thing that makes it function, and it's made of metal, the entire machine is chayav in tevila. So someone thought, you can break it apart, he said. Someone thought, you can open the circuit box, and all the wires are soldered together. So just unsolder one of the wires, and solder it back. You need an uman to do that, to solder things together. You don't want an electrician has to know what he's doing. Therefore, it would be okay. There was someone who thought you can be machshir all the Keurig machines just by unsoldering and soldering the wires.
No.
But Rav David Cohen said, what do you mean? You don't need to solder wires to get it to work. You just hold the wire to the other end of the machine where it's supposed to be soldered onto, and the electricity will also flow. And you don't have to be an uman to do that. So therefore, he tried to knock down that heter. Yeah. I have a wire that gets from here to here.
Yeah.
And that's what gets electricity to pump the water in and the machine works. If I unsolder it, it's no longer attached, and I need an electrician to resolder it and hold it in. So when you break a kli, it's no longer functioning, it's not a kli anymore. So therefore, when you remake it through a Jew, it doesn't need to be la. So someone thought, a Jewish electrician thought, let me break it for you, it takes me 3 seconds, and I'll re-put it, I'll resolder it, and it'll all be okay. So Rav David Cohen said no, because
it's still going to ruin the wire.
No, won't ruin the wire. Not going to ruin the wire. Very easy. It's so easy that you don't even have to attach the wire. If you literally just touch the wire, electricity will flow. That's why you should never touch an open wire.
Yaakov, right? An 8-year-old kid can solder a wire.
Yeah, it's very easy.
Okay, but you have to know how to solder. So we get that. It's probably a Maase Uman to solder.
An 8-year-old kid can solder a wire.
You just heat up metal.
So you're saying even better than that. Good. You're saying it's not a Maase Uman. Fine, fine. There's someone Tainan that, you're right, you can do this, but you need to know where to put it. And you need to be an Uman to know where to put it. So, okay, that's part of the conversation, not the best heter.
You
want
to be an Uman, you need that setup. You have to say it came from here, put it back here. Umanut
Sechel, very similar.
Oh, yeah.
Very similar. So anyway, there's also chatzitza issues here. How are you going to put this in the mikveh? The heating canister is inside. You can't, you're going to dunk the whole thing in the mikveh. Who says the water is going to get all the way through?
Nobody.
Exactly.
Like,
so therefore, the poskim tried to find kulot. Rav Belsky, Baruch Hashem, knew everything. So he tried in Hilchot Kelim, Tumah Taura. Masachet Kelim is 30 prakim long. He tried to figure out a whole kula in Hilchot Kelim. He wrote it all up. And I saw Rav Shechter wrote, I don't know anything about Kelim. Doesn't make any sense to me. I think it's Chayav Tvila. I don't know what to do though. Sorry. So they both say, sell it to a guy and borrow it back for this thing. Plus, you can also rely on the Chelkat Yaakov and other things like that. That concludes our discussion of Tevila for electronics. We had the Chelkat Yaakov, who told us plug it in to make it a Kli, doesn't require Tevila. Then we had a great debate. Is he right? Is he not right? Or we can at least include him in some of the Masal Matan as a Tziruf, as a sniff, as an extra reason to be Mako. And then he said, Rav Heinemann, Rav Asher Weiss, and Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz, and maybe Rav Chaim David Halevi as well, that if it's basically impossible, you are patur, just like with a partnership. Rav Avadia says, follow Maran, get your local non-Jewish guy to give it to him, and then borrow it back indefinitely. We'll discuss at great length the Ezrat Hashem how to do that. Make him a shutaf, alternatively, Rebelsky and Rav Asher Weiss say, to just make him a partner with you, that way you avoid some of the issues there, of how legitimate it looks when you borrow something indefinitely. Is that really a borrowing? Is that really you're borrowing from him, or is he giving it to you as a matana? So if you make him a shutaf, it's okay. And we said how RVH holds like the Chelka Yaakov, Chacham and Chaim holds like the Chelka Yaakov, and maybe Rav Avadia does the Gamri as well. Any final questions? Clear? Wife brings home an electric kli. What's the halacha? Two options for Sfaradin.
Depends on the kli.
Depends on the kli, but
you could give it to the goy,
or patur the gamre. Good. So those are the two options for us. Halacha l'maaseh, you get a metal kli, you can just hand it to your non-Jewish neighbor and then borrow it back, or you can just not bother and use it as much as you like, as is.
RV.
Yeah.
Quick question.
9:43. You can go. Because actually, we're basically done.
Let's say the tea kettles that they have to sit on the coil. It's like a plate, and the tea kettle sits on the plate, and you push the button on the tea kettle. You cannot heat up the tea or the water in this tea kettle without it sitting on the actual
mechanism that plugs into the wall. Would you still have to do that because let's say it was attached to this plate? It's a kli without it, though, right? But you could use it for as a pitcher. You are actually using it as a pitcher. The question is if you, the bottom of it has a thing, has a heating element, so that would, I don't think I took mine to the mikveh, but either give it to a goy, or or pride in the mikveh, or just don't bother. Okay, fine. We'll call it here, Bezat Hashem. Our vita's in a minute.
If you did take it to the mikveh, it's obviously
the if you took it to the mikveh, I would tell you, safek brachol la'akel if you took it to the mikveh. Yeah, don't say berachon electronics when you go to the mikveh. And if you can take it to the mikveh safely, you know, it's your headache. You can do it if you want. Tavol lecha beracha. But there are many who say that, as we said, it's not worth the risk. You're fine anyway. There are those who say no. 3 days, we know it works, tried and true. But it's a very strong reason to say no. Your question? Go.
Your second topic.
Second topic.
Your kids and
I didn't get to it. We're not going to talk.
That was interesting.
That was interesting.
Like, what?
That's my filler topic. I've been keeping that in my pocket. So whenever I don't have, I finish early, I'm going to chuck that one out at you guys. But we keep on filling up the whole space with one topic. So, Baruch Hashem, next time. Baruch Hashem. Okay, Chazak Baruch, guys. Thank you very much.